This episode of Cognitive Dissonance is brought to you by our patrons. You fucking rock. Be advised that this show is not for children, the faint of heart, or the easily offended. The explicit tag is there for a reason.
Recording live from Glory Hole Studios in Chicago and beyond, this is Cognitive Dissonance. Every episode we blast anyone who gets in our way. We bring critical thinking, skepticism, and irreverence to any topic that makes the news, makes it big, or makes us mad. It's skeptical, it's political, and there is no welcome mat. Today is Thursday, October the 5th. And see, so we have to start off by addressing a tiny, tiny elephant in the room.
Yeah.
And that is that last week we covered a story, a bad science story that was written up about a man who was jailed for shaking a baby, and he did not, in fact, shake the baby.
Yeah.
There is a growing body of research that suggests that much of the hysteria and moral panic around shaken babies is not actually evidence of shaken
babies. No, it's not
right?
Founded.
It's not founded. It's not founded. But we got some reviews, and I think we need to clarify something. Cecil and I are not pro shaking your baby.
Yeah.
We are not like shaking babies doesn't hurt babies. And we are also not saying that nobody has ever shaken their baby and hurt their baby.
Yeah.
That's not what we're saying. So if we gave that impression, let me apologize for my lack of clarity.
Yeah, mine too, because I don't think we gave that impression, but...
But if that's the impression you got from that, is that nobody's ever shaken a baby and harmed a baby. That's not what Cecil, I believe. If you've gotten the impression from our segment on that we think that you can shake a baby just as vigorously as you like without any care in the world, we certainly don't believe that either.
Yeah.
Where our point of concern comes in, I think, just to iterate and make the point clear, is that there was a time where shaken baby was a sort of catch-all for injured babies. And there are many ways that babies have become injured through the course of their tiny little
sometimes
lives.
Sometimes through child abuse, sometimes not.
Through accident and not abuse. And part of the problem is that we see what we're looking for, and we need to see what the evidence shows.
Yeah.
And if we are looking for shaken babies, we are going to see damage and attribute it to shaken babies. And there is a growing body of research that suggests that there are a non-zero and non-insignificant number of people who have been prosecuted and had, you know, serious consequences for child abuse that just did not occur.
Yeah.
And that's what we wanted to focus on, is the science should lead us to our conclusion.
Yeah. And this falls into forensic science is a lot of hokum. There's a lot of
There's a lot of bad science in forensic science.
That just is not founded in science. It is pattern seeking about the thing that they want to find. You have to understand that when somebody is making a case against someone, they have a person in mind and they're trying to fit these blocks to it. That's not how science normally works,
right?
Normally, somebody comes into a place like they do on CSI all the time, and they like search around and they find this clue, and this clue leads them to this thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, the police officer already picked who they want to be guilty.
Right.
And then they just try to make that evidence fit that thing. And sometimes they can jam that square peg into the round hole by saying shaken baby syndrome, or by saying bite marks, or by saying these other things that may or may not be true, but it fits the mold that they've already decided they want to try to fit. They've made up their mind already. Now they're just trying to find evidence to support the made up mind.
Exactly.
It's a totally different way. So you have to understand, it's not even how science is normally done.
Right.
And so when people go through the justice system, sometimes there are travesties of justice because they have been sort of square peg round hole. Maybe their kid fell off a couch or something and someone said, oh, they had broken blood vessels. They had this, they had these things. They had a hurt neck. Therefore, it's shaken baby syndrome, where it might not have been anything at all, might not have been anything even close to it. They might not have abused their child at all. They might have just had an accident. Now, that's not saying that some, like you said, some people might have shaken their baby. Some people might have hurt their baby drastically by doing it. Some people might have abused their baby and it was called shaken baby syndrome because they just, but there are times that people are being sent through the justice system and then sent to prison for a long time because we make mistakes.
And the last thing I want to say is that, you know, when the sort of like meta narrative culturally floats around about something like shaken baby, right? It causes us to do the man in the clouds thing, right? Where because we're all familiar with this and because we're all told that this is a problem and because we're all told that this is dangerous and because this is this meta narrative that it's a thing that happens with frequency, all of a sudden we're going to find it. And it's like, we're not necessarily finding men in the clouds, right? Yeah. We're looking at shapes and we're deciding that looks like a man in the clouds. Yeah. If I tell you, go outside and find how, tell me how many men you can find in the shape in the clouds, you're never going to come back to me with zero. You're never going
Unless
to
it's
do
a cloudless
that.
Day.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so it's important that we tell ourselves stories that are true.
Yeah.
And that we don't write our stories overly large.
Yeah.
And I think that part of what has to be understood about the shaken baby thing is that the science doesn't back the size of the story that we told as a meta narrative. And unfortunately, the result is that we started looking for things and finding them and putting people in prison for shit that didn't occur.
Yeah.
And that's a tragedy. So this story comes from the New Republic. In the shitter, Democratic representative reads out entire list of Trump crimes. This we just have to play
so
it.
So this is Jasmine Crockett.
Fucking
she
gorgeous.
Is from Texas. And I just want to play this just so people can hear it. And we'll just be quiet.
President of the United States has committed. But when we start talking about things that look like evidence, they want to act like they blind. They don't know what this is. These are our national secrets. Looks like in the shitter to me. This looks like more evidence of our national secrets, say on a stage at Mar-a-Lago. When we're talking about somebody that's committed high crimes, it's at least indictments. Let's say 32 counts related to unauthorized retention of national security secrets, 7 counts related to obstructing the investigation, 3 false statements, 1 count of conspiracy to defraud the United States, falsifying business records, conspiracy to defraud the United States, 2 counts related to efforts to obstruct the vote certification proceedings, 1 count of conspiracy to violate civil rights, 23 counts related to forgery or false document statements, 8 counts related to soliciting, and I could go on because he's got 91 counts pending right now. But I will tell you what the president has been guilty of. He has unfortunately been guilty of loving his child unconditionally, and that is the only evidence that they have brought forward. And honestly, I hope and pray that my parents love me half as much as he loves his child. Until they find some evidence, we need to get back to the people's work, which means keeping this government open so that people don't go hungry in the streets of the United States. And I will yield.
Boom. She's just like,
drop the mic.
There's mics
drop
all
the mic.
Over the floor.
Drop the mic.
It's a mic avalanche.
It's her and Cori Bush, you know, like, I wouldn't want to live in Texas or St. Louis, but I would love if they were my representative.
I know.
You know what I mean?
I know.
Amazing. Just amazing.
Fucking devastating.
Just so like what they have to say and how they say it and how forceful they have to say it. What I love too is how much fire she brings to this. What she's doing is, you know, she's focusing and channeling the anger, I think, that a lot of people are feeling with this running around, chasing your tail, you know, ton of people in Washington that are just wasting our time and our taxpayer money doing the wrong thing. And I think she channels that anger really well.
She does. But I want to contrast that because it's an important point of contrast. I want to contrast that with when the right-wing nut jobs boil over. They boil over with misinformation, disinformation, lies, bullshit. They're talking about deep state conspiracies. Yeah. They're talking about every fucking nonsense under the sun, right? She's talking about just straight up, like, here's some facts. Yeah. Look, here's a photo of our fucking national secrets in the bathroom at his private resort. That's it. That's just a fact. Look, I held it up. Y'all saw it. It's not like, well, let's have a committee to investigate whether or not Hunter Biden once got his dick sucked and somehow that intersects with Joe Biden.
Yeah.
Like, there's a difference. There's a qualitative difference that's really important here. Like, getting angry is okay. It's okay to be angry about things when it's like motivating and necessary and like when we're righteous about something. I don't mind the anger on the right. I just mind that it's all wrong. I can't think of any circumstance. I'm sure there have been some, but I literally can't think of one where it's not been aimed in this sort of shotgun spray of bullshit. Just every time. So this is the story of the week. This is fucking delicious. This is from Reuters. You can also find this story literally anywhere that can spell the word Reddit news.
With like 25 links to this.
It's all over. Kevin McCarthy ousted as speaker in historic vote. So this is so historic that in the entire history of the United States government, this has never happened.
That's because they just made the rule.
They just made the rule. It used to be you had to five people.
Yeah.
And they just changed the rule to one person.
They changed the rule. And as soon as this happened, Mitch McConnell gave a speech and said, I hope the next speaker removes that rule.
Yeah.
That's what he said. He's like, I hope the next speaker removes that dumb rule.
Well, you know, I wonder if the next speaker will be allowed to remove that rule because that rule got put into place as part of a concession that McCarthy gave to Gates et al., you know, the fucking Scream contingent. In order for them to get passed on the 14th vote, like, because they got voted down 13 times. And like one of the concessions he had to give was, look, I'll be your bitch. And if you ever think I'm not being your bitch good and proper, then it only takes one person instead of five to call for a vote to kick my ass out. So you don't have to have any coalition building in order to kick me out.
Yeah. Well, and also, you know, he got removed because he wasn't willing to work with the Democrats. Like he had, like, it's not like he didn't have 210 votes that he could have tapped into, right? He could have.
Sure. Yeah.
I think if he would have shown that he, because the reason why they said that they voted him out is because he proved that he was a liar. He said he was going to give concessions before, and he didn't do those things in May when they had to have some of the Democrat votes. He didn't do it. He lied to them. So instead, they said, okay, fine, no problem. We'll, you know, when it comes time for you to get thrown out, we'll just not fucking,
we will
vote against. And guess what? They had eight other people that switched sides and got him out of there. So now they bring up like a speaker pro tem, and they just basically hit recess. They're like, well, we're going to go on recess for a little bit and figure it out.
Because it's a non-function. Here's the thing. Like as kind of like Schadenfreude delicious as it is to watch the Republican Party break. And I really do think more and more, Cecil, I am really of the opinion that we are going to see a fracturing, a structural fracturing. I think the Republican Party might become two parties in our lifetime.
They're starting to fight openly. They're starting to fight openly. So before, I think, if there was fighting happening, you and I never saw it.
Yeah.
We didn't see it. It happened behind closed doors, if it happened at all. Now it's happening in front of us. We're seeing different people give different speeches that are very not all party line, right? Before, you know, for years, I mean, decades, whenever any Republican spoke, you could pretty much guess what the other Republicans thought. Yep. They all thought the same thing. They all said the same thing, and they all spoke that party line, straight down that party line. Occasionally, there'd be outliers, but they were very few and far between. Now, they're kind of all over the place. This guy's attacking Gates. Gates is attacking this guy. There's a back and forth here. And now they're trying, the weakest thing is McCarthy trying to blame the Democrats for this.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
And this you're just is, like, get
you,
them.
You couldn't control your house. Yeah. You literally can't get your own house in order. And are you fucking kidding me?
One of the first things they did was they called Nancy Pelosi and told her to move her office.
Yeah. Yeah. She had a, I forgot what it's called. So as a hideaway suite.
Yeah.
So if you're a ranking member if you're like a senator and like reserved for some ranking members, you get a hideaway suite, which is a second office. So you have your working office in the Capitol building, I guess, which is like inconvenient. And then a handful of people get these little hideaway offices where they can like have a drink after hours. They can go back and like rest between votes. They can be closer to the action on the floor. And like in a retaliatory measure to the Democrats, they kicked her out of her hideaway suite.
Yeah. And she said when Hassert, when she took over, she didn't kick Hassert out of it.
Right.
Like he actually eventually got taken out because he's a criminal or whatever.
Shit. Yeah, right. Yeah. He's a felon, right?
He was a felon, I think.
Isn't he a fucking felon?
If he comes from Illinois, he's 100%.
They're all felons. Yeah. Like just if you're from Illinois, we actually recruit exclusively from the felons.
If you're from Illinois, a Republican or a Republican now, you're definitely
right. Yeah, it's true.
Because Blagojevich was a Democrat for many years, but he's an absolute criminal. And as soon as he was, the Republican Party was like, sure, you come over.
Oh, yeah. Welcome.
Yeah. No problem.
Didn't Trump pardon Blagojevich?
I think he might have.
I think Trump pardoned Blagojevich.
Oh, yeah. Well, they had the same hair. So it makes sense. But this is one of those things, though, that, you know, when I heard that they voted him out, I thought to myself, I was like, are we ushering in something worse? Are we saying, okay, he's got to go, but is there a worse person? Because you know there is a worse person in that
Most
party.
Most of them are worse, actually.
That could stand up and be the speaker.
Yeah.
And you think, and I thought, is this a mistake? And I don't think it is, because they stood by their guns by saying, look, they have basically lied to us. And if you lied to us, we can't, there's only so much capital you get on Capitol Hill, right? There's only so much capital you get. Spelled a different way, but there's only so much capital. Yeah,
still limited.
And you can, if lying makes you lose it very quickly.
Yeah.
And so you can't recover from that. And so at least lying to your colleagues, they lie to us all the time, but lying to your colleagues, that's not so good.
Yeah. I am worried, you know, because the reason McCarthy got booted, of course, is because he worked, you know, and he said as much. There's got to be an adult in the room, is what McCarthy said when he helped push through the vote to make sure that the government didn't get shut down.
Yeah.
Well, the government's going to be shut down in November. Like, this was a 45-day, this is a temporary.
It's short.
It's a Band-Aid. Yeah. There's no juice on it. It's 45 days. So in about, you know, no time at all, we're going to be right up against the same thing. And at least with McCarthy, he was like, all right, I'm not willing to let the government shut down. I'm not willing to not fund our debts.
Who's next? Are they going to do that?
Yeah. I am worried that if we start ousting the adults in the room, we are not left with, like, we're left with nobody. We're left with nobody. Yeah. And a completely dysfunctional House of Representatives, as much like schadenfreude as I might see in that. We need our government to function.
I don't know. I don't know what the next step's going to be. I'm very interested to see who they... It's going to be like 10 days, and then they'll probably have somebody new, and then they'll go through the gauntlet of how many fucking times do they have to get...
And then we'll see if they can actually get shit done.
The one way that can guarantee that somebody would get up there, is if they put somebody up there that the Democrats are okay with. So they have to go over across the aisle and be like, okay, we got to be okay with this person. But if not, then they're going to have to go with the MAGA party, whoever the MAGA party wants, and they want.
Yeah, this is a crossroads moment.
Yeah.
This really is. And it's a crossroads, because if they get the MAGA party person, that person's in just as much hot water as Kevin McCarthy.
Yeah.
Right? Like, what's going to happen in November? Let's say they get a MAGA person.
Let's say Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Let's say Marjorie Taylor Greene gets made Speaker of the House, and I kill myself at those words. But let's say she becomes Speaker of the House. She was censured when things were running functionally. So she's doing her burpees as the fucking Speaker of the House or whatever.
She has one of those big hammers, and she's hitting a big tractor tire
or whatever.
With it. She's got a big giant hammer she's swinging.
So she's doing her CrossFit. It's a Speaker of the House thing, and it comes time in November.
This Russian twist. She loves those.
She loves those. She loves them.
Huge
she's
fan big, of Russian
she's
twists.
Doing those kipping pull-ups. Her shoulders are all blown out. Yeah. So she's in there. She's doing her thing. She's blowing out her back, her shoulders, her knees, whatever.
Sure, yeah.
And she's Speaker. It's November. It's time again to fund the government. We got to decide we're going to fund the government. And they don't do it. I don't know what happens next. I don't know that they have the kind of like coalition on the right that they'll ever get behind the MAGA guy, there could be like stalling out. There could be like a complete stalling out of the government.
Sure.
There really could.
Could.
And that's nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
That's nerve-wracking.
Yeah. I thought we had just slipped past it.
Yeah.
And then Gates came up and pulled this thing, and who knows, he could have pulled the rug out from an entirety of the United States with this.
He could have. And I really do wonder, like, is this the first genuinely visible fissure in the crack that will soon become a votable, functional, fundraisable MAGA party?
Yeah.
Which is different than the Republican. Maybe this will be our first third party.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
Like real third party.
Well, they've already started in the grassroots section, so.
Jesus, yeah. I know.
Philadelphia.
Yeah! All right, so this story comes from CNBC. First co-defendant in Trump Georgia election case pleads guilty. This is Scott Hall. He's one of the 18 co-defendants. He's the bail bondsman guy.
Yeah.
And he fucking flip-a-delphia.
He wound up being one of the people who was working very closely with Sidney Powell. And he was one of the people who was defrauding the voting system down there with the voting machines. And they said that he has to pay a $5,000 fine and perform 200 hours of community service as part of the deal. They also ordered him to write a letter of apology to the state of Georgia for his crimes and have no involvement in the administration of elections anymore. And I love that they made him write on the board 100 times.
I
will not meddle in elections ever again.
I will not treason.
I will. He gets to the last one, the bell rings, he takes his skateboard and runs out. Yeah.
But they also said that he is working with federal prosecutors.
Yeah, that's the other thing too. That's why you flip. Well, you also flip too because they tuned it down to like four misdemeanors.
Well, yeah.
Tuned it down. It's a deal. It's literally a great deal.
And they're going to keep offering deals, right? And like all they need is a handful of people who are going to help the because if you're like I'm never going to flip. It's not going to be me. I'm never going to flip. First guy flips. All right. You know what? That guy wasn't that big a deal. He doesn't know much. He's not going to bolster the prosecution's case that much. I'm not that worried. Second guy flips. I'm a little more worried.
Yeah.
Every domino that falls is going to be like, okay, now it's because then what I'm thinking, if I'm that guy, what I'm thinking is, all right, I got to flip while I still have leverage. I've got it. Because if you don't, then you're just
saying I'm guilty.
Right.
And there's no benefit to you.
Yeah. Because at some point the prosecutor is going to say, I don't need you to build this case. We're not making a deal.
Yeah.
You can plead guilty and we'll prosecute to the full extent of the law. Here are your options. Go to court. I'll prosecute you. Got a great case. I got six guys that just flipped and I got all the information. Yeah. I got all
and
the
if
juice.
If you plead, maybe they'll give you a lower sentence.
Right.
That's what you would say. But I won't.
Yeah.
I'll still recommend the maximum, but you might get a lower sentence.
As the prosecutor, I'm not helping.
Yeah.
So like if you're the prosecutor, you're going to play pretty big hardball here. You're going to be like, look, if you work with me, you can pretty much walk. You can go pick up some trash on the side of the road for 5 weeks.
Yeah.
And then you're pretty much your own man.
Yeah.
Or take your chances that you flip on time.
And the other thing too, that I was listening to a couple of different places had said this, that very specifically, Fani Willis has not given out these plea deals to everybody yet. But there's a good chance that everyone will receive one. Everyone that is involved in this RICO case will receive a plea deal of some sort.
An offer?
An offer of some sort. Every single person, maybe not Trump, but I'm pretty sure everybody else will receive something because when she was bringing it in front of the judge had even asked her, have you given them an opportunity to like deal and plea deal? And she was like, I haven't sent them all out yet.
Okay.
So she clearly has them. And other people were saying that this is like a demonstration that her case is not as strong. And then I heard from other people that another set of people that were saying, no, that's just not true.
Yeah.
That her case is very strong. And the fact that people are starting to flip is an indication that her case is very strong.
And again, everybody who flips has to agree to work for the prosecution to do it.
And this is a person who I think, you know, is going to be on the stand against Sidney Powell because she's the one who was who he was working
exactly
very closely
right.
with.
So and now if you're Sidney Powell,
you've
got to be thinking, fuck, the pressure's on.
Yeah. So does she flip?
Well, yeah. And this thing is like, if you're Fawny,
yeah.
don't you give a sweetheart ass deal to Sidney Powell?
This guy could be on the stand soon. And that is also demoralizing for all the rest of them, right? If they see him on the stand, they're immediately thinking, well, is Giuliani going to flip? Is so-and-so, whoever, you know, one of these random dudes going to flip? Is, you know, because I'll tell you what, the people, this is one of those guys who was a low-level player in this from the state, not somebody who was, you know, in the White House. He was clearly from the state that was trying to do something in this state. You get him and that other lady who was like the leader of their party in small Coffee County. You get her, you get a couple more people. Suddenly it starts looking really, really dire for these other people who are looking at, and these are long sentences with felonies.
Yep. Yeah. And a felony in America will ruin your whole life.
Could ruin your whole life.
You know, like, it's not like you do a felony. You're like, okay, well, that means I have to, you know, do more prison time or whatever. It's like, yeah, but it's all, you're just also a felon forever. And in America, you never pay your dues.
Yeah.
But where would you find a handsome dog to replace me?
This story comes from the New York Times. Death of Dianne Feinstein. Newsom faces pressure to quickly appoint a replacement. Now, he has already appointed a replacement. So he appointed and he was challenged several years back that if he had to appoint somebody, would he appoint a black woman? He appointed a black lesbian woman. If I'm not mistaken. If I could be mistaken, but I think I'm not.
Well, let's find out right now. Let's search for it right now. Newsom picks LaFonza Butler. I don't know if I'm saying that correctly. That's how it looks like it's spelled. LaFonza Butler as a replacement. How old is LaFonza Butler? Because that is something that I am interested to find out.
She looks much younger than Dianne Feinstein. That's for sure.
She definitely does. Let's do search Google. She's 44.
She's younger than I am.
Good for her.
Younger than I am.
How great is that? Okay, so a younger lady, black woman, like you said, maybe a black lesbian. So great. Yeah. Sounds great.
It's awesome.
And I, you know, one of the things that I wanted to talk about, one of the reasons why I wanted to talk about this story was because Dianne Feinstein could have left a really amazing mark on the American political system and not left a sour taste in people's mouth, right? I want to read some of the accomplishments that I found today when I was looking for that she did, right? Mm-hmm. So she's the first female mayor of San Francisco. So
that's a big deal.
She had tons of conservation and restoration bills, too many to list, like genuinely conservation and restoration stuff and environment stuff was her. That was her deal. Okay. She did a ton of them. Assault weapons ban in the 90s, protection for unaccompanied minor immigrants. She had fuel efficiency bills. She was part of a report on CIA torture in 2014 and helped outlaw the practice.
Hell yeah.
She oversaw a 6-year review of the CIA's detention and interrogation program. And it said, culminating in a 2014 report, executive summary, and subsequent anti-torture legislation, reauthorizing the Violence Against Women Act in 2022 and the Protection of Marriage Equality Act in 2022. She's had an amazing career.
Yeah.
And it reminded me sort of how we feel kind of Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
I was just thinking
which
the
is
same
like,
thing.
You know, if at the end you stepped aside at that moment where you knew you could, I don't think anybody would be motherfucking Dianne Feinstein at all. And we got lucky in this case, right? Where, you know, I mean, I don't know if you're lucky in the sense that I think Newsom was, or somebody was going to be governor that was going to be blue. But even still, this is one of those moments that you look back and you think, gosh, no one would have anything to say if she stepped away 2 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when she died, she was 90 years old. That's just too old. That just is
to be in Senate.
Too old.
Yeah.
To be in a position of this kind of leadership. And I it just is, you know? And like, it's okay for there to be a sunset of your career prior to 90.
Yeah.
It's okay to say, you know, because strategically it's bad, right? It's and Ruth Bader Ginsburg is a great example. If you are a party person, if you are a politician, if you care about outcomes that are partisan outcomes, RBG, and I know she was not a politician, but she absolutely cared about partisan issues and partisan outcomes. She held on too long. She was playing a game, and that game at some point is to benefit you. It's because you still like doing this job. It's because you still like the work. It's you still like, you know, whatever is attached to that work. But like, that is a shirking of your responsibility as a civil servant. Your job as a civil servant is to do what is in the best interest of the people. And that includes being strategic about your decision to retire.
Yeah.
So you retire when the person who is likeliest to be in power is going to replace you with somebody who holds the same ideals.
Sure.
Because if you don't, and we watched it with RBG, if you don't, it all gets wound back.
Yeah.
And your great, beautiful legacy gets shit on. And so you hurt yourself, you hurt your legacy, and you hurt the strategy.
You know, what a great point, because imagine if she'd have done it with Obama a couple of years ahead of time,
yeah,
when they couldn't have blocked it.
Right.
And then she could have sat in on the room to talk to him about who she prefer to be sitting in that seat. You know what I mean? Like, she has a conversation. Instead, she has to leave a note to Donald Trump that says, please don't replace my seat because you didn't replace the other seat. And then he was like, ha, ah! Threw it over his shoulder. And
crumple,
then,
crumple.
And then it flew right into fucking Mitch's goiter and it ate it. And then that was the end of the, that was literally the end that anybody thought about it. And then they immediately appointed Amy Coney Barrett.
Yeah.
So like you have an opportunity to change the future and then keep those changes that you had for all those years. Instead, you decide to hold on until this point. And it's like, you know, it just sucks. And I want to, you know, one of the things too is every day that Dianne Feinstein did not step away was taking away a day from her successor's chance to be a more powerful incumbent.
Yeah.
So she,
very true.
The more that she was able to stand in front of everybody, the new person is able to stand in front of everybody, LaFonza Butler, the more she's able to stand in front of everybody and be familiar and be an incumbent and be doing the people's work for a while, that gives her a power into the next election. Every day you take away from that is every day you give her a chance to not be reelected.
Yeah, you know, I just thinking exactly along the same lines, like, you know, wouldn't it be refreshing if a senator reached a point in their career where they said, okay, strategically, I'm at a place where I have to recognize that every day is a borrowed day, right? Just statistically, every day is a borrowed day at a certain age. Yeah, you don't know if you're going to wake up tomorrow. That's not me being ageist. That's just like, we die.
Yeah.
People die.
It's
none of us go forever.
Very true.
So at some point you got to say, all right, well, you know, wouldn't it be better if I have 3 years left to serve on my term? I know I've got a solid blue governor to replace me. What I'm going to do is step down and offer my services as an aide and mentor to the person that's going to replace me. I'll still come to work every day, but I'll come to work as a senator's aide.
Yeah.
And I'll help this person get their feet wet and they'll be believed. All those people that love me will love my successor because they'll see the weight that I carry behind this new person.
Right.
It would just be better, man. It would just be so much better.
We would be remiss, Tom, if we didn't talk at all about Trump's trial that's happening this week, because we have Trump derangement syndrome. We have a Trump derangement syndrome because Trump's in the news all the time, and also getting indicted for crimes all the time. But we're the ones who are dwelling on this, clearly.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah. It's not that literally every day something is on the front page of every paper.
Or he does something horrible enough to talk about all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So yes, it's us. It's us. This story again, the New Republic, hours after gag order, Trump launches fresh vitriol against New York judge. So earlier, Trump truthed out some bullshit about a clerk, like some conspiratorial shit about a clerk. It was basically like, hey, here's a picture of the clerk once shaking hands with a Democrat at like an event where you just shake hands with everybody. This proves that the whole court is in bed with the Democrats. And this is a Democratic like show trial, right? It's fucking nonsense. Like this person was just at an event and got their handshake. And there's literally no other tie. Sure. So it's nonsense. The judge was like, enough of that shit. That person works for me. That doesn't happen again. So Trump took that truth down, because that's how truth works. Took that truth down. He de-truthed it.
Called it back.
He untruthified it.
He reeled that truth in. Yeah.
And then he started blasting away now at the judge.
Yeah.
And I when I read this story, I wanted to talk to you and say, do you think that this was the strategy all along? I think the strategy is to go to the judge. Trump wins both ways. this is the smartest thing he can do. If he goads the shit out of the judge and the judge takes the bait and imposes a gag order. Oh, thanks for all the PAC money.
Yeah.
I'll get money, 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 money will flow in because I've been silenced, my free speech, blah, blah, blah. It's just, it writes itself. And if the judge doesn't take the bait, then Trump is free to say whatever awful, mean-spirited, conspiratorially minded bullshit he wants. It's a win-win for him as long as he pushes all the time.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, I think I think Trump is always on. So I don't know that I want to accredit a crafty idea to him. I just think he goes full bore and sometimes it just happens that that's good for him.
Sure,
right?
Yeah.
And so I think like, you know, sometimes just going as hard and as fast as you can all the time, sometimes that pays off.
Yeah.
And I think in this case, it's just paying off. I don't want to attribute, you know, that some sort of genius to a monster, somebody who doesn't understand right. what he's doing. He doesn't, he hasn't crafted two moves ahead. Instead, what he's done is just put the pedal, he's just mashed the pedal down
right.
and just trying to be as vitriolic as possible. I also think, you know, Trump is the kind of guy who's going to go after whoever he can, whenever he can. And he's talking about that not only the judge, but he's talking about the prosecutor. And he called her an animal. Did you see this?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he loves to do this, especially with women of color. He loves to call them an animal. And that is a fucking, that's not a dog whistle anymore. It's a megaphone to all the racists out there.
100%, man. 100%. I was struck just by an amusing analogy. Like, Trump plays politics the same way that I play pool.
Yeah.
I am bad at pool. So what I do is I hit the ball as hard as I can into the biggest cluster of the other balls in order to create as much chaos as possible on the table.
No, that's perfect.
And sometimes they go in.
Sometimes things happen.
And then I'm like, I meant that to happen. Yeah. You know, it's kind of the same thing. Yeah. It's just fucking slop politics.
Yeah, and
he's playing slop politics.
The more energy you put into those balls, the farther they travel, the better chance they have of going
just
into a hole.
Accidentally bouncing into a corner.
Just accidentally. And that's the same thing with him. It's just a better chance it has of just bouncing into somebody and causing chaos.
Yeah.
And he's just hoping for that. Did you see this week that his legal team forgot to check a box?
Oh my God, yes!
So now there's some argument back and forth about whether or not this is real, right? So evidently, they started complaining about it. So they were like, well, we wanted a jury trial, blah, blah, blah. And the judge basically said, well, you didn't check the form to get a jury trial. But then other people came out and said, there's no way they could have got a jury trial anyway, even in this state. This type of trial wouldn't have been a jury trial anyway, so they couldn't even requested one. But the judge basically called them out and was like, you didn't even fill out the form.
You didn't even
for
ask.
That. You didn't even ask for
you
one.
Did, look, the answer was going to be no, because probably procedurally it was always no. But also, you lawyered at such a bad level. The thing is, like, his lawyers are shit.
Yeah.
Nobody that's like really fucking good.
No, they've all abandoned him.
They're all, or they're indicted.
Yeah, no, yeah. Either he got him in trouble,
right.
Or they're at this point, there's nobody left that's worth a shit that's willing to, because, you know, this guy basically has two people that are sitting next to him and one of them is complaining about this. And then I think the judge basically called him out to like scold them.
And can you imagine how fucking red your face would be? Do you ever, Cecil, have you ever been in a position where you've been like, hey, that thing, and it's like, actually, that was your fault. And then immediately you realize it was.
Yeah,
has
maybe
that ever
a couple times. Sure, a couple times, I'm sure.
It has happened to me just a handful of times. And when it happens, and you're like righteously indignant and only to find out that you were the cause of your own righteous indignation.
You hoisted your own petard.
Man, there is no fucking worse feeling. It's like your fucking guts just flip inside.
Yeah, and you're just like, oh.
And you're just like, oh.
I made a huge mistake.
Fuck.
I made a huge mistake.
Abortions for all. Very well. No abortions for anyone. Abortions for some, miniature American flags for others.
Yay! Tennessee woman denied medically necessary abortion is running for office. So this is a lady who had she was never, this was never going to be a viable pregnancy. But because Tennessee's laws are so draconian, doctors were unable, or they were unable, they were unable to brave those draconian laws to provide her medical care. That's what happened. And so she had to travel out of state.
Non-viable pregnancy. Non-viable. She was going to die.
She was never going to be
able to die. Yep. There was no way that baby was going to live outside of the womb.
But the doctor's like, look, I can't go to jail.
Yeah.
I can't risk my license. Yeah. I can't risk my freedom and my family.
She had to travel.
So she had to travel. And now she's back in Tennessee and she's like, guess what, motherfuckers? Yeah.
She's suing too.
Yep.
So she's not only suing the government, she's also running for state office. And I want to read too, because it said, after calling several clinics and booking flights and hotels, Phillips was able to travel to New York to get an abortion, but she was forced to grieve her pregnancy loss alone. And it's because, suddenly people always say, well, they could just go to another state. And you're like, but my support network is here.
Yeah.
Right. So if I get sick or get hurt, I could have my in-laws come over and help me and take care of me or be there and give me a hug after something terrible happens to me. Right. I could be around people that could be my support network. Instead, I've got to board a plane. I've got to fly to another state in the union, get an abortion, and then stay in a hotel room and cry myself to sleep alone because it costs a lot of money to send my whole family there.
Yep.
And the other thing too is like, this woman wanted this baby. It's not like this woman is just like, so like, I know they try to paint it and it doesn't matter anyway, right? Like,
doesn't matter why anybody wants to get an abortion.
But they always try to paint it as like, man, we're trying to stop abortions as birth control. It's basically when they talk about it, that's what they're talking about. But like, this isn't this wasn't birth control. This woman wanted this baby. Her daughter was like singing good night songs to the bump, like the bump in her tummy.
Yep.
She was the whole family was just over the moon with the idea of having another baby. So they wanted this baby, and then you inflicted this on them.
Yep.
And now you inflicted this on them, and she's going to go and she's going to become, she's in a very red district. So who knows? But, the more people this happens to.
Exactly right.
The more people, this is more dominoes falling. And it's not just people who are going to run for office. It's rich people who are going to help fund her. It's somebody's brother who's, his sister had something like this happen. He might vote for her. A mom had to have their daughter go through something like this. They might vote for her where they never voted for a Democrat before. Because the more dominoes fall, the more you're going to see what a political loser this is, because you're stripping rights away from 50% of the population.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. This was the biggest miscalculation. The dog caught the bumper on this one in the biggest way. And this is more than a political misstep. Lives are being damaged. Yes. Lives are being ruined. Lives are going to be lost as a result of this if they haven't already. We covered stories where people were on the brink of death because they couldn't get access to care in time. I want to see more and more people challenging the system directly as a result of this.
Sure.
Because you can go to another state unless you're in Alabama, which wants to find you and prosecute you. And a lot of people can't afford to leave the state.
No.
And you shouldn't have to. And a lot of people, I don't know if it's the majority, but it's close. A lot of people that have abortions already have kids. So who's taking care of those kids?
Yeah.
While they go off to do this, there's a myth. There is this idea that the people who are getting abortions are irresponsible teenagers.
Yeah.
That's not true. That is not the demographic statistical reality. It is, I believe it's a majority of people that already have children. These are moms already. These are just people who, for whatever reason in their life, it's not the right time for them to have this pregnancy. So they're just seeking medical care. Like, we're painting this as if it's the right paints this as this moral issue of morally delinquent, sexually crazed teenagers. And that's not it. That would be fine if it was. Go get a fucking abortion. I don't think teenagers should have fucking kids. That's insane. Yeah. I mean, why are we trying to encourage fucking people to do that?
Millennials can't afford houses. How do teenagers have kids?
Right. This is so, I'm not trying to cast aspersions, I guess is what I'm saying, on anybody at any age for any reason. If fucking the reason you want an abortion is because you want an abortion, then that's it. You don't have to say anything to anyone else.
But you said, it's medical care. It's none of my fucking business.
None of my fucking business. But I can't wait to see more people challenging.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see this bite these fucking evil hate mongers right in their ass.
I think everybody while Roe was restrictive, I think everybody kind of was cool with Roe. I think that it gave the people who don't like abortion those protections for later term stuff. Even though they say late term abortions, those weren't happening.
Those de minimis.
They were happening when there was like, oh, horror for either the mom or the baby, they were happening. But it was like 10 or something a year or some crazy. It's
essentially zero.
It's statistically zero. But, you know, then you have, you have good, very good protections for the last trimester. You know what I mean? Like that first trimester is kind of, it's kind of there where, you know, like nobody really was pushing for anything there. Sure, there were some states who were doing it, but they were few and far between. But man, once that went away, I think everybody that kind of was just looking around and saying, man, we really messed up. That was kind of the perfect middle ground for a lot of people to be okay with it.
Yeah, Roe was a very sensible, policy line to draw, right? I think it made a lot of sense in terms of its political strategy.
Yeah.
It made a lot of sense. Now this fucking no abortions at all, 6 weeks, which is essentially no abortions, all this fucking crap, that's all going to backfire.
Yeah.
That is all going to backfire. It may not backfire all at once, but it is, I'll tell you what, every single place that abortion is on the ballot, it loses.
It's losing. It's losing every time.
There's no exceptions to that.
It's a galvanizing point for young people.
Absolutely.
And so you are making a huge mistake by the entrance of young people into the voting pool and then throwing this at them with, you know,
they're going to get crushed.
You're doing the wrong thing.
You're going to get fucking crushed.
And it's not just in Tennessee.
So this story comes from ProPublica. Idaho banned abortion. Then it turned down supports for pregnancies and births. And I read this and I was like, yeah, no duh,
man. Of course it did. Of course.
Because this is about shaming women, hurting women, and financially crippling women.
Yeah.
That's what all of this has always been about. This has always been a strategy to keep women, I believe this more strongly than anything, this has always been a strategy to keep women out of the workforce. This has been a strategy to maintain cultural and financial dominance by men over women.
It's state-enforced patriarchy.
Yep.
And I want to say, you know, the egregiousness of this, I want to read a little bit of this. It says, they allowed two bills to die that would have put Idaho on the same track as nearly every other state with abortion restrictions, including Florida, Kentucky, and Texas, by extending postpartum Medicaid coverage to 12 months. Idaho's Medicaid coverage ends after 2 months after birth.
Jesus Christ.
The minimum under federal law. They turned down $36 million in federal grants to support childcare this summer, while other states with new abortion restrictions, Alabama, Louisiana, and Mississippi among them, made investments in early childhood education and daycare. Idaho lawmakers at the same time attributed the decision to a pending audit of a different batch of grants. And so they basically just refused the money that could have invested. Like, look, you're the one who wants the kids. You're the one who wants the kids, then fucking take care of them. Help take care of them. Create a social safety net that can take care of them. But you never wanted the kids. You just wanted to punish people. That's all you wanted to do.
Yep.
You didn't want to do anything but punish people. That's how our prison system works. All we wanted to do is hurt you. We don't give a fuck about you. We want to hurt you. And then whatever happens to you after that, I don't fucking care.
Yep. Yeah, that's literally
what they're doing over and over and over again. And they're doing it to women and they're doing it to people who get incarcerated. It is literally the party of vengeance. That's all it is. It's a vengeance party.
Yeah,
they just want to just hurt as many people as they can.
Yeah, America talks a big game about how much we love kids and how much we love children. And like, we don't. We absolutely do not. I'll tell you what, like, that is the biggest fucking narrative cultural lie that we ever bother to speak out loud. And we know it because we aren't investing in them. We are not protecting them. We are not keeping them safe. We are not providing them with medical care. We are not providing them with quality education and interventions. We are not investing. We're taking care of kids. And if, like, you don't care about something, you don't pour resources into.
Sure. You just
that's
don't.
It. Like, that's the end. At the end of the day, if you want to know what somebody cares about, Look at how they spend their time and their resources.
That's exactly it. For years,
not their language.
For years, and there's so a lot of people write mission statements, right? So they write a mission statement. And I remember for years, I was working in an office where there was a guy who was running a mission portion of this company. And what he would say is, don't show me your mission statement if he's coming in to do consulting work. I don't want to see your mission statement. I want to see your budget. Show me your budget.
Yeah.
Because I can tell where your mission is by looking at your budget.
Yeah.
What you care about is what you spend money on. None of that other shit. You could fucking talk about whatever the fuck
exactly
you want.
Right. Yep.
And you could write down about puppies and rainbows and cute kittens.
Yep.
What are you spending your fucking money on?
Yep.
That's what we know. And if we look at fucking Idaho, we know exactly where they're not spending their money.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, how much do you care about kids when you have child marriage as a rule?
Yeah.
Like, you care about kids, you're letting them get fucking raped.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you care about kids, we're not taking care of them from the moment of their fucking birth. You care about kids, we're not funding their education. You know, we don't care. Just say, welcome to Idaho. Yeah. Fuck you.
We don't care about
you. We don't give a shit.
Go wander off into the distance. Because it's all the distance.
You won the Nobel Prize for inventing the artificial appendix.
This story comes from NPR.org. Nobel Prize goes to scientists who made mRNA COVID vaccines possible. It's just cool.
It's just great.
This is just cool.
This has been in the works for a long time.
Yeah.
When you read this article, they talk about how long they have been working on this. And the funding finally came during the COVID.
Yeah.
The COVID pandemic. During the pandemic is when they finally were able to get a lot of this research that they'd already done really funded, and we were able to see massive tests on a massive scale, and they wound up getting the Nobel Prize for it to two researchers.
And a couple of things that are particular, like first of all, the COVID mRNA vaccines indisputably, according to the data, have saved hundreds of thousands, if not millions of lives that just would have been lost. This thing would have been vastly worse. So that's unbelievably awesome.
Yeah.
But also just opening the door to a new technology.
Yeah.
That so far we have dipped just the absolute corner of our toe into. But we have opened up the door into a new kind of medical technology that has the potential to inoculate us against things like cancer.
Cancer, yeah.
You know, to inoculate us against all kinds of other biological threats and diseases that we might face. And like, we're not there yet, right? We're not there yet. This shit is slow. It takes time. But what COVID also taught us is that if we're willing to invest, we can do incredible things very quickly, scientifically. Yeah. We're not usually willing to invest.
No, they don't normally want to spend the money. No. They spend the money on what they can make money on.
Right.
And this wasn't anything that they were looking to do until it became literally the thing that was going to open the planet back up.
Right.
And they had to do it. And somebody did it, and they funded a ton of money from all over the place, and they found out that it worked, and it worked really well. And so it worked so well that this week they sent out an alarm to activate.
So nice.
So what's funny is I don't know if you saw this week. I don't know if you saw it beforehand.
I didn't see it beforehand. So clue me in, buddy.
So all over the place, I was seeing it from all these different places. Evidently, as soon as they said that they were going to have this, it was like a FEMA alert that was going to go off on our phones. So everybody in the United States was going to get an alert from the government that basically said, hey, this is a test of the emergency broadcast system. They used to play on the mornings on our TV shows.
Yeah.
They used to, but nobody watches live TV anymore. So they don't show them on TV anymore. Around here on the first Tuesday of every month at 10 in the morning, they sound the air raid sirens or the tornado sirens.
Yep.
And so you hear those. But, you know, once in a while, my phone will go off and go off from one of these particular alerts. And it's a very loud, piercing sound. You can't shut it off. And it normally happens when there's a tornado nearby. I'll normally get an alert like this.
And it goes off even if your phone's on silent.
And if your phone's on silent, it doesn't matter. It still just burns. And so that's what was going to happen. They announced that this is going to happen. They said, we're going to send this alert to everybody's phones. Immediately, all the QAnon people and all the people who are just absolutely conspiracy crazy took to the internet to tell people that they're going to be activating people's COVID vaccines with the 5G signal that comes from your phone.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Doesn't make any
sense.
It's literally the stupidest thing that's ever happened or ever been said. 5G signals are traveling around you right now. Yep. Like right now, they're all around us. They're not doing anything to us. They don't go, they actually don't penetrate human beings. They're like, it's just—
That's why I get terrible Wi-Fi inside my body.
Yeah, when I stick my phone up my ass.
I can't get that thing to ring no matter what.
I can't even bring up the Goatsy page. No, but in any case, they started talking about it all over the internet. There was a Reddit thread where this, and I don't know how true this is because you're just seeing text messages, right? So I have no idea if this guy baked this up on his own. Seems like something that a crazy person might type, but evidently he was getting text messages from his landlord saying, I'm going to shut the power off at this time next week. And the guy said, I don't want you to shut my power off. And he said, too bad, I'm the landlord. And this guy called the cops on him like three times to get him to stop shutting the power off. They still shut the power off and put a lock on the box, and the cops never did anything because of this signal. Other people were sending their loved ones.
But he was worried about a signal that was going to go to a cell phone powered by a battery. I just have to point that out.
Tom, I have no idea why he decided to do that, but it was in conjunction with this and because of this. Another person was saying, put your phone in the microwave because that's a Faraday cage that will stop it. You got to unplug the microwave, put your phone inside there. Other people said, put your phone in, wrap it in tinfoil, then put it in the Faraday cage, which is your microwave.
I still have unplugged. Questions.
Oh, I have a ton of questions. And so a lot of people that were sharing these with a lot of other people on the internet to say, they're going to be sending this code out. You don't want to be anywhere near your phone. And so it went off and literally nothing happened except for people had to wait until their phone stopped shouting so they could shut off the screen and go back to doing whatever they were doing.
Yeah.
But what makes me crazy is all these people so fervently believe this and so quickly post this stuff everywhere they can. But then when nothing happens, what do they do?
Yeah, it doesn't seem
to like— It doesn't seem to phase them at all.
Break. It never breaks the chain of belief, right? Like— If I said, look, the sky is blue. That's just the color of the sky. It's the color of the sky is blue. And tomorrow I went outside and the sky was just chartreuse. I'd be like, well, I need to rethink my thoughts about the blue sky.
Sure.
Right? I'd be like, and if I went, if it just has to happen once, and I'm like, well, that's a totally different color sky. Like, and a reason for that? Can I find a reason for that? No. No, it's just the color of the sky now. Like, all right. I got to change my opinion on this. These guys never have to change their opinion. Harold Camping predicted the end of the world. Then it didn't happen. They all stood on a fucking hill or whatever. Like, oh, I gotta wait for the end of the world. It's all over shit. Yeah. And then it didn't happen. They're like, well, I got the date wrong. Well, we did it wrong. Go ahead and run again.
Same thing with John and wherever he was, Texas. Or
right.
Wherever.
Yeah. Is that guy, did those people disperse?
I don't know. They're probably still there.
Are they still waiting for him? The fuck is wrong with these people? I do want to read from this article a couple of the like chunks of what people thought was going to happen. It's fucking insane. Also, I have to address the turn off your cell phone. Let me just, if you take the premise that the United States government is sending an evil signal and that evil signal can activate some sleeper cells that are literally cells inside my body.
From Rainbow Company, what was it, Raccoon City or whatever?
Yeah, Raccoon City, sleeper cells of zombification. Like, if my cell phone is turned off, the signal that is going to travel to my cell phone would still hit me.
It's still
going to
come around you.
What the fuck is my cell phone doing?
It's not like there's a fucking satellite that like homes in perfectly on your
phone. Shoots it right to every phone
there. Like, it just goes, ring this phone everywhere, and then your phone rings.
So then were they thinking— I know I'm taking this too far, but like, were they thinking, Cecil?
No.
That the signal goes to my phone and then my phone then?
Your phone is the thing that's the amplifier to you,
I think. It sends it to me?
I guess. I don't know. I don't know what that— So here's the thing, Tom. They weren't thinking.
Yeah, okay.
Because they're talking about putting their fucking phone in an unplugged microwave.
Yeah. I also love the idea that it is a Faraday cage.
Just put it in the toaster oven. It reheats way better.
The microwave is uneven heating, and I don't believe they're useful.
They get one of those bacon pans for the microwave. You ever use one of those?
Yeah, bacon pan. Yeah,
yeah, those
they
are
do
great.
A great job.
Really great.
They
really
do a great
job. The bacon pan that like fries it kind of.
Yeah.
Outstanding.
Yeah, a weirdly good
Outstanding.
Job.
Outstanding. That's a great way to make bacon.
That is a great use of the microwave.
It is an absolutely. The only complaint I have is you can only make like 5 or 6 slices.
That's why I don't use it.
Yeah.
I don't own one.
Yeah.
Because when I make bacon, I always make the whole
pound. You make the
bacon.
Whole pound.
Because you can.
Yeah.
And then it's not like there's ever leftover bacon.
It's not like you're not munching on the bacon while you're cooking.
Right.
And then you take the few pieces of bacon that you need and then you munch a couple, put it in the fridge, and then later you've got bacon just on demand.
I've never had the later part.
Okay.
I've never. Right. I used to, back when I was like working out a lot, I would make like, and Finn would come over and he was maybe like 10, 11, 12. I would make like 6, 7 eggs for me, a pound of bacon, 3, 4 eggs for him. And then he and I would just sit and we would just like roll through like together, like
eat a half
10
a pound
eggs
of bacon.
And a half a pound of bacon each. And I was
8
like,
8 ounces of bacon.
That's breakfast. Wow. It was awesome.
You guys were fucking lumberjacks. I'll tell you what.
It was fucking for real. It was calories for days. So I got to read some of this crazy bullshit just so you guys get a sense of this. Cause I did not see any of this ahead of time. So this is being shared on Twitter by some idiot named Gina. Turn off your cell phones on October the 4th. The EBS is going to test the system using 5G. This will activate the Marburg virus in people who have been vaccinated and sadly turn some of them into zombies.
Okay, that's fair. I'll be honest. Wouldn't it be cool to just call in sick as a zombie? Just be like, I'm sorry, I can't come in. I like 100% need to take the day off and eat brains. I am so fucking hungry for brains right now.
I would love to be like the supervisor getting a call from somebody. It's just like, yeah, hello, this is Tom. Brains. So you're going to make it in?
You're going to...
Brains!
Can you work from home today?
Brain.
I don't know why these people are so worried. No one's going to eat their brain.
Right? Yeah. There's nothing there.
It's
There's
like a no snack. Fucking, yeah, it's a right. light snack.
Theories tend to focus on the alleged dangers of vaccines and 5G signals. 5G cellular networks, which telecom began implementing in 2019, have been erroneously associated with COVID and vaccines by conspiracists throughout the pandemic. In the UK, anti-vaxxers were convicted of a criminal plot to destroy 5G towers. My family believes the end is near, a Redditor wrote on a QAnon casualties subreddit where people can commiserate. According to my father, on October the 4th at 2 p.m., the government is going to use the emergency broadcast system to play a frequency that will activate the RFID chips in vaccinated people and trigger the beginning of the Great Replacement.
Yikes. The Great Replacement is like straight up fucking like
that's just straight racist.
That's straight racist talk.
Also, like an RFID chip. It's not something that can be activated. It's something that is found.
Yeah.
Like you have an RFID chip in your credit card.
Your credit card. You got
the machine finds the chip.
It's a perfect example too, because the finder, it doesn't just find it in my wallet. I've got to bring it very close to it. In fact, I've got to do it like on it in order for it to do something.
Right.
It can't, like if I hold it against the wrong part of the machine, and this happens to me all the time, they don't actually label it really well here in the States. Sometimes you're like, they're like tap to pay and I'm like tapping in different places.
Yeah.
Like I'm fucking dubbing this thing, Sir fucking Mix-a-Lot. I'm like, come on, will you fucking please take the thing? And nothing works because it's got to be super close to it all the time. You're absolutely right. It's not like it's just like in my pocket and it can tell.
And like your credit card didn't get activated. Nothing went to your credit card. This thing read your credit card.
Yeah.
So like even if I had tiny little nanoparticular RFID chips, like all anything could do would be to read them. It couldn't activate them. That's not what RFID does. Yeah. It's like everything about this is just structurally stupid.
But the problem is that they just won't learn from it, right?
No, they won't learn.
They said a bunch of garbage. They vomited a bunch of garbage out. And then tomorrow they'll be like, yeah, there's probably zombies, but they didn't the media just didn't cover it, but there was probably zombies.
Probably, yeah.
I mean, I would imagine that's going to be their answer. If you go to talk to some of these people and say, so what about the fucking FEMA call the other day? Did anything happen to anybody you know? No, but I heard a friend of a friend or whatever. Yeah, right. They're going to they're just going to find how they can still believe it somehow.
Right. Yeah. It's the same thing with every time like any famous athlete or something dies. They're like, oh, see, COVID vaccine. And you're like, yeah, man, but like a billion several billion people have gotten COVID vaccines. Yeah. Several billion of us have gotten COVID vaccines. Some of us, many COVID vaccines. So like one person having a heart attack while playing a vigorous sport is not evidence that like the billions of us that got this thing are going to drop like flies any minute. They keep waiting. Like, they're all going to like be like the last one standing in some Twilight Zone episode where their glasses break.
They think it's the fucking rapture.
Yeah. Yeah. They're hoping.
All right. That's going to wrap it up for this week. This upcoming week, we are going to have a long form article that Tom already read for patrons. You can check it out if you're a patron. Long form article about Clarence Thomas and Clarence Thomas's dirty dealings with tons of billionaires. So you're going to want to check that out this upcoming Thursday. We'll be back on Monday with another show. We will not be doing a live stream this month. I am going to be out of town, so we're not going to be catching a live stream. But don't worry, catch us in November, because chances are maybe we'll even be doing it like on like around Thanksgiving or something.
Probably.
I don't know, maybe the week before or something. So, all right, that's going to wrap it up for this week. We're going to leave you like we always do, though, with Skeptic's Creed.
Credulity is not a virtue. It's fortune cookie cutter, mommy issue, hypno-Babylon bullshit. Couched in scientician, double bubble, toil and trouble, pseudo-quasi-alternative, acupunctuating, pressurized, stereogram, pyramidal, free energy healing, water downward spiral, brain dead pan, sales pitch, late night info-docutainment. Leo, Pisces, cancer cures, detox, reflex, foot massage, death and towers, tarot cards, psychic healing, crystal balls, Bigfoot, Yeti, aliens, churches, mosques, and synagogues, temples, dragons, giant worms, Atlantis, dolphins, truthers, birthers, witches, wizards, vaccine nuts, shaman healers, evangelists, conspiracy, doublespeak, stigmata, nonsense. Expose your sides. Thrust your hands, bloody, evidential, conclusive. Doubt even this.
The opinions and information provided on this podcast are intended for entertainment purposes only. All opinions are solely that of Glory Hole Studios, LLC. Cognitive Dissonance makes no representations as to accuracy, completeness, currentness, suitability, or validity of any information, and will not be liable for any errors, damages, or butthurt arising from consumption. All information is provided on an as-is basis. No refunds. Produced in association with the local Dairy Council and viewers like you.